The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Luther wasn't there, of course, at Augsburg in 1530. His great moment before an imperial diet had occurred over 9 years earlier, when he had stood alone before the emperor and had refused to deny his writings and his doctrine. "Here I stand," he had said, and he remained true to the word of God that he preached. But that statement, however powerful, was the confession of just one man. Now what the emperor wanted was a statement from the rulers who followed Luther about what was being taught and practiced in their churches. But Luther couldn't come to Augsburg. As a result of his first and earlier confession, he had been declared by the emperor an outlaw. And so he was forced to stay away from Augsburg when the emperor summoned the Lutherans to give an account of themselves. So instead of Martin Luther, the task of writing a confession for the church that bears Luther's name fell to his good friend, close associate, Philip Melanchthon. Along with other theologians and officials, Melanchthon completed the task. He produced a theological masterpiece, a work that with simplicity, clarity, and power demonstrates the biblical and Catholic character of the Lutheran faith. And when Melanchthon completed it, he didn't present it personally for himself to the emperor. Instead, the chancellor of the Elector of Saxony publicly read it to the emperor, acting not on behalf of theologians, but on behalf of princes and politicians, laymen, really, who represented and protected the churches in their territories. For the Augsburg Confession was not Melanchthon's personal statement, even if he wrote most of it, any more than it was Luther's, although he inspired it. Instead, it belonged to the churches that confessed it. "Here I stand," said Martin Luther at the Diet of Worms. "Here we stand," said the Lutherans at the Diet of Augsburg in 1530. But what about the Lutherans in 1999? Is the Augsburg Confession, whose presentation we celebrate today, still a statement of what we teach and believe? Is it still a description of where we stand amidst the swirling currents of contemporary ideologies and theological vagaries today? To be sure, the Augsburg Confession retains a place in the various documents that define Lutheran churches around the world, but is it any more than a paper confession? Does it really rule and regulate what is taught and preached? Do Lutherans still believe what it says about God, Christ, sin, and salvation? Unfortunately, the answer to these questions may well be no. For in an ecumenical age, many Lutheran churches appear all too eager to compromise their confession in order to accommodate other traditions. And even at the level of the local church, too many congregations routinely welcome to their communion table members of other churches who do not confess the Augsburg Confession. On paper, then, in constitutions and charters, Lutherans may still say nice things about the Augustana, but it is not clear at all, in practice, that the Lutheran Church as a whole still confesses the document that defines it. What is going on here? What has happened to the confession of our church? Now, the answer to that question resides, I believe, in the answer to an even more basic question. And that is whether it is possible at all to confess anything today in modern society. For our flight from the Augsburg Confession is simply one more manifestation of our refusal generally to acknowledge any absolutes of truth or of morality. Unfortunately, in Western society today, just about the only virtue that people still recognize is tolerance. Tolerance of every religion, of every non-religion, tolerance of every wickedness, tolerance of every vice. And tolerance in contemporary parlance is virtually the antithesis of confession. For practically the only people regarding whose views society is intolerant are those who dare to stand up and say, this is right and that is wrong, this is true and that is false. Too often then, the result of a toleration ethic is to mute the voices of those who otherwise might confess. For who wants to be accused of being opinionated, prejudiced, biased, bigoted, perhaps only uninformed, but maybe even hateful? And all of these terms are simply synonyms today for being not tolerant. So it's hard to stand for anything in 1999 America. And yet, as this morning's lesson reminds us, to be a Christian is to confess. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Heart and mouth go together. For what you believe in, for what you hope in, for what you rely upon in your heart must reveal itself in life and in words. Now, I know that we can always find reasons for being silent before critics and opponents of the gospel. What's the use, we say? They won't listen anyway. Or, this isn't the right time for me to speak out. I'll wait for a more convenient time. I'll wait for a better opportunity. And so we dissemble. But who are we deceiving? Perhaps others, but undoubtedly ourselves. Because all the while that we are saying, I believe in Jesus, but are refusing to confess his name, something else is crowding Jesus out of our hearts. Something else is intruding between us and God. Now, maybe it's the opinion of others. We value that more highly than we do him. Maybe it's fear of others. Maybe it's a desire to get ahead in this world. Maybe it's just the desire not to fall behind, too far behind in this world. But describe it as you will, it amounts to a kind of self-indulgence, self-centeredness, self-love, which is right there at the core of our being, where Jesus Christ belongs, our heart. So, of course, we fail to confess. Our mouths will not speak what is not in our hearts. But if we are silent, and all too often we are, thank God that he is not silent, for he speaks to us loudly and clearly, unambiguously, in his word. And in this word, God disperses our silences and disarms our excuses. This word has the power to lay bare the self-centeredness that lies behind our refusal to confess. This word has the power to transform our hearts by filling them up with Jesus Christ, who is himself the incarnate Word of God. For even though we may hesitate to acknowledge God, he does not cease to acknowledge us. In our Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, he put in a claim on us as his own. And that claim he made personal to each and every one of us in our baptism, so that we are his children, forever forgiven and destined for eternity with him. And this word, this message, is God's remedy for our weakness and sin. Now, it comes to us in many forms, the Bible, the sacraments, preaching. But this morning especially, we remember that this Word of God is the heart and soul of our Augsburg Confession. So that in the document that we are celebrating today, authentic Lutherans of every age, from those who stood before the emperor when it was first read, to those Lutherans who in the present are remaining faithful and refusing to give in and to go along, these Lutherans, in this, their confession, are preaching God's word to us. They are exhorting and encouraging us to believe what it says about our Lord Jesus Christ and his work to rescue us from all of our sins. Not because Luther taught it, not because Melanchthon wrote it, but because God revealed it in the scriptures, and it is his power to save. Now, I fully recognize that there are some here this morning, perhaps even most of you, who are not all that familiar with the Augsburg Confession. And I would be hard-pressed to insist that you must be for the sake of your soul's salvation. But all of us should recognize that this confession is one of the real treasures of our church, and that it ranks right along with Luther's small catechism in defining what it means to be Lutheran. Now, people try to pack a lot of things into that term, Lutheran. But the Augsburg Confession reminds us that, in its essence, Lutheranism is not about us, but about Jesus Christ and what our gracious God has done for us in Jesus. Jesus is the one in whom we believe in our hearts, and therefore he is also the one whom we confess with our lips and in the Augsburg Confession. Amen. And now the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.